Welcome to the fire.
Welcome to the fire, boys. My name is Parker McDonald.
And I'm Walter Lee, and we'll be your hosts on this episode of the Southern Collective Hunting Podcast. If you're a new hunter trying to learn the basics,
or you're a veteran woodsman just trying to get through your workday, there's always a place at our campfire for you.
Speaking of the fire, we would love it if you guys would join our growing Patreon community and be a part of the best and only digital deer camp south of Mason-Dixon Line.
Come on. If you'd like and learn more, click on the link in the show notes. But for now, Walt,
welcome to the fire. Ew.
Dude, what the crap are we doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Doing a deer podcast
yesterday. I know. You know, at the end of the day, when you kill as many turkeys as we do, you start running out of things to say. And you're just...
Wow. Dang, not... If this is anybody's first impression, they just got a bad one.
Or maybe they're really impressed.
Got them fooled.
Maybe. Doubt it.
Hey, fake it till you make it, Joey.
I'm still faking it.
Come on. Wasn't too...
Faking it with a belly full of Reese's Easter That's eggs, right. though. I mean, it's a good way to be.
Taxable well, guys, Easter candy.
This time of year.
Welcome back to another episode of the Chasing... Oh, my God.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. What
Whoa.
The crap?
Whoa.
Wow.
That is 6 years of habit right there is what that is.
That's not.
It's not.
Yeah, how many times have you done that over the past, 10 months?
I've not done it once. I've almost done it.
Well, you got a little easier, Parker. You can catch yourself after Southern.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. A gay name like Chasing Tails, you can't really.
Well, I named it Chasing Tails because if I named it Killing Tails, it wouldn't have been a very fitting name. So, welcome back to the Southern Collective, ladies and gentlemen. We are back to our regularly scheduled programming. We are talking turkey. We will no longer be talking about deer for the foreseeable future. Hopefully,
why did we do that again? Time out. Why did we just like throw a random deer episode in there? Was it for like to shut deer guys up? Was that all we were doing?
I mean, honestly, so the fella killed the deer in late February. So like it couldn't land during deer season. And Florida native, so it fit into the Florida Friday narrative. And I know that Graybeard has been threatening to leave Patreon if we didn't start talking about deer and take some people with him. So I didn't want that to happen. So, you know, had to throw him a bone.
It was a great conversation. It really was. We got into talking about, Brett, you'll like this. We got into talking about, like early season feed trees and stuff like that. And I actually started kind of geeking for a minute and then I calmed down and remembered it's not deer season.
You know what's funny is it kind of stoked a little bit in me of enthusiasm for this upcoming year because I've been talking to him afterwards, and a lot of the areas he hunts are really like some of those areas that y'all have been really encouraging me to hunt. And so, given that that place ain't but a few minutes down the road compared to a couple hours down the road, it's exciting. But I also think that's only because I kind of have to pretend like turkey season's over because I can't turkey hunt for the next 6-7 weeks while we wait on Georgia to open up. So
you have seven weeks until Georgia.
No, it just feels like that, man. Like my wife goes and plans a freaking baby trip. What is this thing? It's called a sprinkle. Y'all know what this is?
Oh yeah. No.
Okay, so if you have a baby shower, the idea
sounds
is
sounds out of my tax bracket, bro.
if you have a baby shower, you're only evidently allowed to have one of those. And the idea is you should hoard everything you got from the baby shower, and then they just sprinkle little gifts on you instead of a shower of gifts whenever you have a second child. And so my wife said I could either go or stay and watch Walden. And so I stayed and watched Walden. But the thing is, I expected to be hunting all the way up until the point she left, and then I freaking tagged out. So I'm just over here twiddled-ing in it as I'm just trying to figure out what to do. And this is terrible, man. This is horrible. Like, I'm speaking from extreme privilege here that I tagged out in Florida, but still, it's just like, bump this noise, man.
Check your privilege, Walter. Yeah, it's a tough place to be in, I imagine, being tagged out and all. That does suck for you, but I think everybody's done feeling sorry for
you. Yeah, no one should feel sorry for me at all, period. But, you know, you wake up and it's like, Matt's like, on the way again to go hunt some land. I got permission yesterday. He had 32 goblin turkeys. I'm like, well, Matt's going to kill another bird today, you know? And Brett's like, I took Monday off to go hunt the Alabama opener. And I'm like, I'd love to do that too. It's terrible.
Well, I will say it has all kicked off very quickly. Yeah. It seems like, especially amongst our group. Today, I think we're recapping a little bit of our Florida hunt. But even since then, I mean, it's been lights out.
Are we up to eight birds?
It's been
up to eight birds.
Seven.
No, because two for me, three for you, Brett, Matt, Joey, that's eight.
I can confirm.
That's one, seven.
Two.
That's seven.
Three.
That is seven. Four. That is very simple math, actually.
So,
it's actually not worth even thinking about that long as we did.
If we were recording this at like my equivalent of midnight, I probably could have got caught up with myself there a little quicker, but yeah, seven birds. We're not going to be talking about all seven here though, because Matt chose not to join us because he can't stand the fact that we went hunting without him. Just back that bus up on top of Matt. But dude, we had a heck of a time down in Florida having ourselves a Patreon turkey hunt. And I've got to say, at this point in time, I genuinely believe that those turkey hunts are the best Patreon hunts that we do. I think there's just enough killing and the daylight ends just quick enough that everybody's always back at camp at a reasonable hour to where you get to hang out. It's a blast.
Yeah, I had fun. I always have fun getting to hang out with people. We talk about this after every Patreon hunt. You talk to these people digitally, right? Like throughout the year and all that stuff. And then you go out and you actually get to like hunt with people and see how they hunt. And we got to me and Casey and you, Walt and Corey, we got to go out on that gator tail with chicken buck. And that was freaking blast. Mm-hmm. That was unlike anything I've ever experienced, by the way.
Really?
I heard Brett had the time of his life too. Yeah. I mean, like I've been in some like shady boat situations, yeah. Right? But like the stuff that we would just willingly go over was so much fun. It was so much stinking fun. We don't have a lot of that kind of stuff around where I'm at, and I don't have a boat that would do that. And it would be addicting.
Yeah.
I could see that being like going joyriding with the mud boat. Mm. It was fun, but getting to hang out with all the people around the fire, and man, I think it was just about every single night we were, out there. I mean, it's primitive camping. It's not like we could go and shower or anything. So we all pretty much just hung out all night long.
Joey, I'm curious, your first Patreon hunt, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I had a blast. It was good to finally meet everybody. Cause I've been a part of, both the Southern Ground and Chasing Tails, you know. I've been part of both of those Patreons for a couple of years now. And so I knew everybody and I've known everybody for, you know, that amount of time, but I hadn't met anyone. I had planned to come last year, but couldn't. But no, I had an absolute blast. Can't wait to come back down next year.
It's a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun. It's cool because I've never had anybody come to one of those events and go, and take away anything other than just enthusiasm for it, which is really a testament to the Patreon community. It really has nothing to do with what we're doing, but those guys are so generous and they're so enthusiastic about what they do. And it's like, it's one of those things where, you know, we took up, I think it was like $30 a person to do a big meal, and all of a sudden crabs just start showing up. Thanks, Ben's mom. and there's rock shrimp. It was an inside joke. and then we got rock shrimp.
Dude, what the heck with those rock shrimp? Dude. What a weird critter.
Looks like lice. It looks like underwater lice is what it looks like.
It looks like sea lice.
That's what we should call them.
I could not believe that I was scraping out that meat and putting it in my mouth just by the way that looked. Like I don't know if I were in charge of naming the animals. I don't know if I'd have said shrimp, you know? Yeah.
What would you, okay. So out of curiosity, what would you have called it, Parker?
Rock probably like just left it at rock.
They kind of look like it looked like a hard shell grub worm to me.
Yeah, said sea cicada. That's what it would be. It looks like the little cicada shell.
Yeah. Shoot. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
But they were delicious. Yeah. I mean, they really were pretty good. And then the jumbo shrimp.
Oh, yeah. That's where it was at.
I don't think I've ever seen a shrimp like that either.
Those things were huge. They were huge and they were crunchy and that was fresh, man. That was like just, but that was the case. Then there's like three coolers of beverages and then people are passing around bottles of Buffalo Trace. And that's just indicative of those guys, you know? And there seems like there's always what?
that rum.
Yeah. I was thinking about it. Yeah. We're going to refrain from naming that out loud, but good job, Ben. prank bottles of rum. But man, we just had a great time. It's just a great time, and there's always things dying. Like, I mean, how many birds died on that Patreon hunt? Was it six or seven?
Well, they all of them died on Sunday. Walt, Brett, and I, we got a bird on Sunday. That bird.
Crandall shot two that weekend, but I don't think they were with Crandall, us per se.
Yeah, they weren't on the property we were on.
Yeah.
So four.
Was it four?
I think it was four.
Four on the actual Patreon. Yeah.
I think there's another one missing. Who's the fifth one?
There's five.
Who was the fifth one, Brett?
Walt, Joey, Parker, Brett, Tutoff.
Did y'all see that?
That was weird, wasn't it? Did you see that little thumbs up just like that ghost just appear in Brett's window? No.
Oh, there it is. What is that thing?
I did this and it.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
How does his do that? That's weird.
I'm cool.
Mine doesn't do it.
Now we all just look absolutely.
And nobody listening to this podcast knows what we're talking about.
But yeah, there was five killed at the piece of property where we're hunting, and Crandall killed two somewhere down the road. Yeah. Not too far away.
If you include mine, which was after the Patreon hunt, it's five.
I count yours, man.
I would consider,
especially after you let us cut you off to kill that first bird. It just feels appropriate.
Let you is a strong word for it.
You know,
he was an island boy.
I mean, here's the deal. At the end of the day, you got to make moves. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to.
And by that, he means cover 2 miles in the dark to get all the way to the back of the freaking road.
Listen, here's the deal. We earned that bird, okay? Like, because that sucked. It sucked so much, man. That was one of those, like, I'm so lucky I had Corey with me, because I could have seen like 1,000 people like halfway through that walk being like, no, turn around, figure us out. Like, I don't know how we didn't get bit by snakes. Honest to God, some of the stuff we were walking through without snake boots, and we're trying to do it with like a red light, man, that was crazy. But, you know, whatever. It panned out.
Well, you had to make up for Saturday because you couldn't go anywhere or do anything Saturday.
Also false. Also a false thing to say. Untrue. They chose not to go anywhere.
That's like saying I've got a car with an empty tank of gas, so I chose not to go anywhere. So opening morning, what happened? So Parker, myself, and like 13 other guys, it felt like, pack into this tiny little go devil, and we troll all the way out to where we're gonna hunt, and we get dropped off, and everybody says, hey, there's this series of islands. You guys just huff it from these islands, and we're gonna go to this series of islands, and we're gonna go huff it around these. And we get there, and it just feels like utter mayhem because there's another set of guys that are about four or 500 yards away. They come in around all these islands, like from the west side. And then we're sitting there, Corey and I, and somebody keeps shining us off to the right. And we're looking, and like, Parker, we could see you guys leaving. And this guy is lighting up the forest around us. Turns out some jackleg, and I say that like tongue in cheek, kayaked down a river he had no business kayaking down in the dark. I mean, like unsafe. That guy is unsafe. I don't care how you want to cut that. And more importantly, how the heck he got back, I'll never know. Because that's a swift moving body of water. I mean, that's just unreal. And we're flashing this guy. We're surrounded by people. We didn't expect to have to go very far to begin with. So we didn't take much in the way of rations because we didn't expect to be there the entire day. And Parker and Chicken Buck go off and do their thing. And we sat on that freaking island literally till about 2 p.m. Wasn't it about 2 when y'all come to get us?
It was past three.
I was thinking about to say, I took so many naps. I quit counting. I got hangry, and the hangry passed like four or five times. I thought about eating the fiddler crabs that I was seeing crawling around me. Like, well, maybe we'll just do a low country boil right here, you know? And on top of that, Chicken Buck's like, hey, there's this dry land bridge to get you back to the water over here. Here's the track. There is no dry land bridge. So we're having to huff it through muck that's coming up almost over our boots to get to where we're getting to. And at one point, Corey looks at me and he goes, man, I'm hot. I didn't bring any water. And he's wearing like these hard scrabble pants that are kind of warm. Like, I'm not wearing them in the spring. And he had been wearing a jacket for a little bit. And we sat on that riverbank for 6 hours while y'all took naps next to a tree, hoping a turkey was going to come by, keep telling us that you had a bird coming. And here come the two guys from the boat. And this is the only mistake we made the entire dadgum day, because I, again, didn't expect to be out there all dadgum day. These guys come out the same two hunters we saw earlier that morning, come out. They're nice as can be. And they're like, hey, man, do you want to ride back to the ramp? And I go, no, man, our friends are coming to get us. We'll be all right at 11 a.m.
And oh, yeah, out of no food
whatsoever. We had two granola bars to split between the two of us. And so we're sitting there, and at like 2:30, I'm dazing in and out. Corey just goes, I think we should have took the ride. I'm like, yeah, dude, you think so? And the worst part is, like, Parker and Chicken Buck aren't even giving us any updates. We're like, they're on that bird. We're gonna hear a shot any minute now. And it'd be like an hour or two later, like, we haven't heard anything in 30 minutes. I'm like, what are you doing sitting over there, man? Like, we're just sitting here waiting on you, you know? And the worst thing is, you'd be dozing off and you hear, and you'd wake up optimistic that it was your buddy coming to get you. Nope, some other guy going to kill a turkey.
So that was Walt Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm just going through the recaps right here.
Yeah. But I mean, I hear a couple things there. The food and water deal was just kind of like,
we're here.
Casual.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. That was a mistake. We had plenty of food.
Clearly.
That's why we stayed out. We were there to turkey hunt.
Y'all were not turkey hunting. Y'all were deer hunting.
Not those two.
Really?
Two
you days. Had birds, but
we heard enough gobbles those 2 days.
All right.
For sure.
I'll take it back.
That first day we kind of had some later into the day. I think we stopped hearing gobbles around, it seems like around 12.
God. So we sat there for 4 hours.
We got you at 4.
Yeah, so we sat there. So we gave it as much time as we needed to.
And we got footage of you and Chicken Buck taking naps out there too. Like, that was the thing. It was like you guys got bored at one point in time waiting on them turkeys.
Yeah, bro. Turkey hunting, kind of, you got to be patient. sometimes. And
no, you don't.
Sometimes you just got to sit on them, you know? Yeah, sometimes you do. We didn't kill anything that day, but
that would have made it worth it too. Because at one point, no, I looked at Corey and I was like, "But they're going to kill that turkey. They must be on that bird. Like they are going to. If they're still on that bird, they're going to kill it. And this is going to be a great story."
However, I will say this: our time spent in that last 3 hours,
yeah,
did make it possible for you to kill a turkey the next day because we learned of several different things. We knew we learned that there was a trail that went mm-hmm. back there. And that happened in those 3 hours. So, I mean, you can't be too mad.
Oh, I'm not mad. It's all part of the fun and games, man. It's all.
No, you were though. No, it wasn't fun then. You were.
I don't think
when you stepped onto the boat, you were not happy go lucky opening day of turkey season, Walter Lee. You were.
I've been marooned on an island.
Just shot a bird out from in front of my buddy.
Look, here's the deal. I was not upset with y'all. I was severely hangry, and I was just trying not to be the dude that like took a crap on the butt deck of the boat when I stood on that thing. I looked at Corey one point and I said, I know you've tried to start like three conversations, but if I open my mouth, it is not going to be pretty. Cause I'm a fat kid, dude, 215 pounds at 5'7". I'm a fat kid. I need my snacks. And I was both angry with myself for not packing them and then just angry. Cause I was angry. So I really wasn't upset with y'all. And you're right. Well, good things.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
This came from it.
Yeah, man. And I mean, to be honest with you, that is a very easy thing to have happen on a Florida boat hunt, I would say, on a piece of property that you're not familiar with. Just because that it happens. Yeah. Water separates everything in Florida. And sometimes it's hard to figure out, you know, what's going to be what. Yeah. Like your maps is not, they're not always going to be the most helpful, because it's hard to be in land that flat. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, and that's probably the hardest thing about Florida. If you can find dry land, Florida's relatively easy as far as just to like to yeah. get around, you know, and to hunt. But if you're in swamps, that it's tough. It's tough to predict what it's going to look like until you just
yeah. Go. That was
go ahead, Joey.
That was the toughest thing for me since I'd never hunted Florida. You know, because up here or literally anywhere else in the country, it seems like you pull up a map and you turn on that hybrid mode. And you got topo lines. You can tell a different. I mean, you can navigate your way. You can pick apart a place. You know, whatever, you can find these outlying factors that we try to look for, you know, when we're turkey hunting or even deer hunting or whatever. And when you do that, you try to do that in Florida, it's just, you don't do that because
you just don't do it.
You're like, oh, I turned on topo. And now it's just a blank screen because there are no topo lines. and so you turn it on satellite. Well, you know, a guy from Tennessee has no clue what to look for on a satellite map in Florida. And so it was just, it was tough. But I mean, once you get in there and you spend a day or so knocking around in those swamps and kind of navigating your way through everything, it's not as bad. But it makes you understand why people put those turkeys up on a pedestal like they do. It's not, and Parker and I discussed this in our Live from the Fire episode. It's not so much the turkeys that are so intimidating and that you really need to be worried about. It's how you navigate the area that they live in, mm-hmm. and the atmosphere and, you know, or the, you know, the environment. The turkeys are still going to be turkeys. They're going to do turkey things. They're going to act like almost every other turkey that you come across, but just getting around them, moving on them, hearing them through that thick brush and judging their distance, mm-hmm. all these other factors just come into play when you're hunting those things.
That is one of the biggest things I would say. It took a couple of days for me to figure out, even again, after this is my third year hunting in Florida, hunting turkeys in Florida. It took me, I would say 3 solid days to figure out how to judge that gobble. And I think the only reason I was able to do it is from the day that I actually killed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we heard so much gobbling that day. It was just going to be hard to figure out. It was going to be hard not to figure out how to judge that distance. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because we were hearing it from all different distances. And so I will say, though, after 3 years, it took 3 years. I remember the first time I looked at a map of Florida with the intention of hunting, like on a topo map for the first time. And I was like, oh, my Lord, what what is it? What? I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'd been to Florida. I'd seen what it looked like with my eyes. But when you look at it on a map and you're trying to figure out what's what, what's a swamp, what's pines, what's, mm-hmm. you know, an oak hammock. I didn't even know what an oak hammock was at that time. And then I remember the first time, walking in and looking at my Onyx maps to hunt, and it was dark and I hit knee high water. And I just walked through it for like 500 yards. And I'm like, does this ever end? Is this ever going to stop being water? And am I going to find a gator like this? You know, I don't know. You know, it's an intimidating place to go to for the first time, but it does get a little bit easier, mm-hmm. Joey. I will say that you start to learn those.
Yeah. Things. I learned a lot about the terrain and how to kind of navigate stuff for the first handful of days. It was, excuse me. It wasn't until we got into those turkeys Wednesday, like you said, all that gobbling and actually interacting with turkeys. My hunt, when I killed that bird Sunday, was a quick hunt. So I didn't really get to learn a whole lot about the turkeys in general, about how they were really doing. But Wednesday, when you start hearing all those gobbles and you really get to work turkeys, is when you just learn a lot about actually hunting them and not so much about just navigating your way through everything.
You know, it's one of those things that I think the quote by Will Primos, he tells that story so well on Cuz's podcast, where he talks about how he took somebody from, I think it was like PA, deer hunting in a swamp down here and down in Mississippi. And he's like, you're going to walk out there till you get to the ridge. And when you hit the ridge, go about 50 yards to the right and there's going to be a ladder stand. And the guy just comes walking by like at 9 o'clock, just walking back to camp. So he gets back to camp and says, dude, why'd you come back so early? He goes, dude, I never found the ladder stand. He's like, well, did you walk down the trail till you hit the ridge? And he goes, yeah, dude, I never found a ridge. And he walked him all the way back there to show him where the ladder was. And it was like this much, like 6 inches in elevation change. It was like the ridge is just nothing back there. But in these swamps, 6 inches makes all the difference. Immunity. And
I've been saying it for years. 6 inches is huge.
But you know, you go back there and you're wading through muck, and then that 6 inches of elevation change, and you got scratching everywhere, and you got turkey tracks everywhere.
Absolutely,
you know, and it's like that. And if you're, not familiar, Joey, I can empathize with what you're saying. If you're not familiar with what it looks like on Onyx to find that tree cover change. And I mean, candidly, if the river's up, if it's rained a bunch, you know, right after we left, we got like 6 inches of rain overnight in that area. I bet you where we hunted, you couldn't even walk through after that. It is a pocket of habitat that those birds are just kind of moseying around. And I think once you kind of find that blueprint, it all gets really easy afterwards. And you have like all this negative space on the map that you're not going towards. But it can be really tough.
Joe, you remember when we were sitting in that swamp that morning, that really rainy morning, and we were just kind of walking, I think we were walking back to the truck, and there was like one pine tree, right? Like one, and just a little mound of pine needles underneath it. Like, I don't know, just like a little tiny little spot. And it was scratched to death in the middle of that swamp. Brett, your turkey, my turkey, Walt's were, I'm not trying to like disagree with you necessarily publicly, Walt, but I feel like all of our turkeys were in that spot that I would have considered negative space. The stuff that I would have not considered
initially, or like as a hunter now.
I would think that those drier islands would be where the turkeys would want to be all the time. And it seemed all three of our birds came from the freaking swamp and they were not trying to get their feet dry. At least mine and yours. I don't know. It sounds like Brett's was that way too. It was just, they were just sticking in that mucky,
but they weren't in the stuff that swamp. We would consider muck, right? They were, it's easy to walk through stuff. Like it was all relatively, maybe you had this much of muck and then it was relatively hard bottom. Like where I killed my bird, at least there was moisture and like there was like standing water, but it kind of had like, there were like flowers growing in it. It wasn't just like silt that was just sitting there. And a lot of those sloughs through there was that silt that just like, it can't have any benefit kind of stuff, you know?
I know what you're talking about. And I feel like it's the same type of swamp. It's that, you know, I don't even know what to say here, because
it just, it looks like it should have like some body to it, but it just blows apart.
Well, you call it Tupelo swamp. And then other people call it Cypress. And Pat very strongly disagrees with you that it is not in fact called Tupelo where we were at. It is in fact called Cypress. So I don't know what it's called, but that's the type of stuff. And I noticed out there, what would happen would, it was very dependent on how close to the river you were, obviously, as to how much water you were actually trying to go through, like up on the higher ground, like on the walk-in access type stuff. That swamp was a lot easier to walk through. It was loud still. It was still pretty loud, you know, and it's swampy, but it was a lot easier to walk through where we were at, close to the water. I mean, every day we did it, we got wet. We got wet over our boots at some point. For the most part, it was like, I would say ankle deep, but the same type of stuff that you're talking about. And the turkeys loved it. They don't want to leave it.
Nope.
And that was a barrier. We talked about it in our live from the fire a little bit. Me and Joey, that was like the barrier. We were thinking dry land, like get on those dry land pieces, because that just makes sense to a turkey hunter. But it really wasn't. Like, you kind of had to sit down, you know, a lot of times you had to kind of find that edge, but it did seem like they liked the edge. They didn't want to get too terribly far away from the dry, for whatever reason. I'm sure they're in it often and it has its benefits, but for whatever reason, it seemed like they just really wanted to be in that swamp. I don't know if it was the crabs. Joey found three crab claws in that gizzard?
It was one crab claw, but it was like a couple other pieces of leg. Like that turkey had eaten the crab recently, and there were his shells and stuff were still in there. And so when I saved his gizzard stones, I picked those out and I saved those two and dried them out. And they're in that same bottle, just sitting on top there. But that was super cool. But I've always heard turkeys will eat anything, so it wasn't really surprising. And I don't, now that we're, you know, I've been thinking about it. as far as why they would enjoy or why they would choose that swamp versus dry land. I wonder if it's like a security thing, because you know, we all know it's not quiet to get through there. Like, can they hear things coming a lot better? Like, is mm-hmm. it's harder to sneak up on something in a swamp than it is on an island with pine needles on it.
And I have to think bobcats don't really like getting wet.
Yeah, bobcats or panthers, you know, down there, if they had them where we were at.
Yep.
Hogs, anything. Yeah.
I would consider it to be more open down in there than actually the dry land, or at least where I was. It was way thicker on the dry.
Mm-hmm.
When you got into the swamps, everything was only about a foot, you know, or so high. And the turkey's walking through that mud that I'm a foot, like sinking down a foot in. They're not even sinking down a quarter of an inch.
Yep.
And there's plenty of food and flowers and buds down there, and they can see a long ways. It's kind of like almost like their pasture, per se.
It's just, it's an interesting thing. I remember the first time I went down there. Actually, the first time I went down there, I killed a turkey in the swamp, and I thought it was the weirdest thing. And not necessarily like, I just felt, it just felt strange, right? Like, Southern guy hunting the hills, you know, that's just not where you imagine your Florida turkeys are going to take place at, is in the middle of the swamp. You just kind of imagine this oak hammock, you know, lots of palmettos and all that kind of stuff, just that Florida dry ground stuff. And maybe it's just TV that has done that to our brains, you know, because the way Brett describes it right there, he explains it, it's very simple. Mm-hmm. It's open, just like a pasture. It's quiet for them. It's loud for everybody else.
But I can.
That makes a lot. It's got tons of food.
But I can tell you right now, there are people that I've talked to who live places like the Okefenokee Swamp who will tell you that what we experienced in that swamp is a Florida bird habitat. Like, because the Okefenokee Swamp functions a lot like that swamp we were at. You don't find birds unless you're on high ground. I mean, that's just, and I think that's kind of Richard Martinez, when we had him on the Chasing Tales podcast, he talked about how Florida birds have webbed feet and you have to go through water to get to turkeys. And it floored me when we shot that bird. He was standing in like 3 inches of water. I never, even up here in Tallahassee, I wouldn't pursue a bird if I thought he was standing in water. I think I think down there that there's so much water that they don't have the opportunity to avoid it. Like, it's just, there's so little habitat, they've adapted to it. But as a point of order, if the board will allow it, Patrick McCoy, you are dead wrong. I have talked to two biologists. There are tupelo gum trees where we were. Tupelo gum trees go almost all the way down to the tip of Florida. And if you're ever wondering if it's a tupelo or a cypress, look for knees. If there's no knees, it's a tupelo gum tree, most likely. If you see cypress knees, there's your dead giveaway. And all that puff mud was around tupelos. And I think the reason for that is, without the cypress knees, debris doesn't get caught in land. And so you don't have that same debris.
Debris?
Absolutely. Debris, what? Is that how you say it?
D-E-B-R-I-S?
We're not...
Debris, it's silent.
So
ass,
uppity
bro.
Of you.
So no, that's just new. It was just American. there are cypress knees, though.
Everywhere.
Yeah, there were not where we killed my bird. It was all tupelo gums. And tupelos also have like a broader leaf. They don't have the needles. That's another dead giveaway. So
did we just say you're both right?
Yeah, they're both there. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
I guess Pat is completely
love
wrong,
you, Pat.
Though.
We're both right, but Pat is just completely wrong.
but Pat's wrong.
Go shoot your bow, Pat, and shut up.
it's a cool place, man. It's neat when you get to explore it. I, you know, after I killed, you know, pressure kind of is relieved a little bit. You know, everybody knows how that is. And you kind of start seeing things for like, I feel like you make better decisions. I choose to move around a little bit more once that monkey's kind of lifted off of my back. You know, I'm like, all right, let's do this thing. And you start, dude, I found some really cool deer habitat. Like it, I have an overwhelming fascination with Florida and the habitat. I think it's one of my favorite places mm-hmm. to be, especially in the spring because it's not too hot. That's the main thing that I freaking hate about Florida, is the hot humidity. But dude, the last couple of years in Florida, that opening week has just been, it's been awesome. It has been beautiful weather, chilly mornings, you know, breezy throughout the afternoon, a little bit of rain. We had some rain and overcast days. And to be honest, the turkey hunting wasn't all that great. For most of the time,
but when it was good, it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
Good.
Brett, I gotta know something, buddy. So you named your team just deer hunting, just deer scouting.
That's right.
Just deer scouting. I feel like probably like how many weeks ago was it that we went on our trip? Three.
Yeah. Holy crap. Yeah.
About 3 weeks ago, you killed that bird.
Yeah.
I feel like the Brett Mashburn now kind of wants to be a turkey hunter a little bit.
Well, I've been a turkey hunter for a long time. I've just never been as serious about turkey hunting as I have deer hunting. One of the main reasons I ever turkey hunts just because I love being outside and in the woods, so you know, to begin with. But now that we have teams, okay. I will say that.
Okay. It's the competitive.
There's a big fire there right now.
But I mean you called in this bird as a non resident on the second day of the season, solo hunting. Mm-hmm.
Less than average caller, and I can only hear a bird about 250 yards in this place, which is something I had to learn.
Mm-hmm. Well, lucky for you, hardly anybody else can hear a bird 250 yards away.
I was about to say, he might have been closer than you think, because I was about 150 yards from Parker at one point in time, and he couldn't even hear the birds that were 50, 60 yards from us. And that was that's one of the reasons why I think – I was so floored that I ended up cutting Parker off and kind of did, because I don't even, Corey was sitting there just floored. Like, cause when we realized we heard the patented Michael Jackson, little sequence that Parker does. It was unmistakably him. And I was like, how far do you think he is? He's like 100 yards max. I'm like, how did he, Corey goes, how did he not hear all of those birds? And I'm like, I still to this day, that is like the one part. It's going to be like a unsolved mystery episode one day for the YouTube channel. I have no idea how we had six birds gobbling and you couldn't hear any of it.
We heard you.
Which is insane.
We heard you whenever you were doing that. When you were calling, it felt like you were like more like 70 yards away. So Brett, you weren't with us whenever this happened, but we were walking back into that area, all of us, the next day or the day after that, something like that. After everybody left, we were all walking back there, and Walt's like, this is right here was where I was at. And I was like, looking at my mats, like, no, bro. I don't think it was, because that sounded like, because where he was saying it was is like, you know, a quarter mile away from where we were actually at. It's like, oh, then you didn't cut us off at all. And so we actually get up to where he was, and he was like, no, this is it. This is it right
here.
The
swamps look the same, man.
We were literally sitting like just mm-hmm. right over there from where they were at. He's like, oh, no, this is where I killed my bird at.
couldn't hear him.
We heard his shot. I mean, we heard him shoot. We heard that other guy shoot that morning. But I'll tell you one thing that did happen. This is, we were sitting on the dry land. We did hear your shot, but we heard the other guy too. We were sitting on the dry land. We were on one tip of it, And we, after you shot, Walt, we ended up moving up and got to the other side of it. And it's only like maybe 100 yards, maybe. And got to the other side, and all of a sudden we could hear turkeys gobbling. It was, like you said, that that dry land is a little bit thicker. And I think that's what it was. I think we just had... Do palmettos absorb sound really well?
Yeah. They make a lot of noise, but seems like all those different like fingers it. And the way they overlap on each other, I feel like it kills that noise big time.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Yeah, it bounces off one into the next and it just dies out.
That's what was that had to have been.
It makes like a barrier.
And it was so unnerving that you couldn't hear those birds that I was laying in bed, I don't know, 4 or 5 days after I got home. And I thought to myself for a moment, did I make that up? Like, did I want to hear a bird so bad after being left on an island to myself the day before that I made up that entire sequence? You know, I'm like, no, Corey was really excited, so he must have heard it. I got out of bed at like 1:15 and came in here and watched the footage just to make sure we had heard all those gobbles. And it was one of those things, like I had it like 3/4 volume, because you know how like anybody who's ever tried to film turkeys, if they're any distance away, it's really faint, no matter if you have a shotgun mic or what. And I had the volume turned way up and the bird goes, bah! Oh, and I'm like, oh my God, I just woke up my whole family. It wigged me out, man. It was those swamps though. And it might be a lesson for people, because if you're hunting anywhere that's thick and you don't hear a bird, like don't just assume the birds aren't talking that day. It's entirely possible that 100 yards further, you're going to hear the faintest gobble and he's only 200 yards away.
That's true anywhere, but it is definitely true in Florida. The Osceolas, they don't gobble super loud. It's not like your Eastern. So that's already like that already is for real a thing. You know, I mean, an Osceola gobbling up close in your face is nothing like an Eastern gobbling up close in your face. And it's hard to judge. We busted turkeys 2 or 3 days in a row, out there just for that reason. But I was going to say the same thing, Walt, for a guy going out to Florida, like, especially when you're going to have to be doing this island thing, you know, that water, it can help like calling out into those swamps and not on the other side of a dry piece. Don't call into the dry, call from the dry into the swamp or into the open where that sound can carry. And the other thing too would be, you know, calling on those roads, Florida. It seems like everywhere I've been, there's a lot of those, what you call dim roads type things, or like dike type roads through the swamps, using those to your advantage, letting your sound carry. Shane was talking about that, about doing that while he was hooting, just getting where those intersections were all at and letting his sound just carry down each roadway. You got to learn little things like that to hunt Florida effectively, I think. And there is like a pretty big learning curve, I would say.
Yeah,
but it is possible.
I think another thing people should consider, the way I killed my second bird. So I had a 60-foot elevation change between me and the next slough. And I couldn't hear the birds. And I'd heard them when I was up on the ridge. I bombed off thinking I had the right direction. I couldn't hear them anymore. I threw my call across the river, kind of at an angle, knowing it would bounce back around to where those birds were in the next slough. And I could hear this really faint gobble. And that's how I triangulated where they were. And that's something out there that I think would work really, really great. If you have the ability to sit in a creek, at the mouth of a creek, and yelp and throw a hoot owl, probably be better in that instance, and throw it down that creek and let it disperse on that open water and bounce. That's something I'm going to do a lot, a hell of a lot more of. If there's the ability to float and just listen, man, you just, it carries so much better.
Well, that's like what we do, Brett. What we do up here. You get at the mouth of a holler, or you get to a point where your sound can just go right up a few different, you know, drainages or hollers or creek bottoms or just whatever. And you just send it and it'll go down through there. And then you can hear a turkey a half a mile away, you know, on a good, clear morning.
Brett, you didn't answer my question. You a real serious turkey hunter now?
Sure.
Like a real serious for sure bottom land or no land turkey hunter.
I'm definitely a bottom land turkey
hunter. The bottom land of the free, son.
No. He didn't know what I was, even though I had to make a big move on him. He just, what was that?
That is so cool, dude. I was so fired up about your turkey and your reaction.
It was amazing.
On Polo.
It was a little rated R on accident. I didn't realize until afterwards.
I'll allow it.
You should have seen our group, our just deer scouting group polos.
I'm not blowing smoke when I say this, because somebody else told me this recently and I agree with him. Parker, I'll just say who it was. I don't know why I'm being, who it is. You are the most enjoyable person to be around after you kill. I have been around a lot of people when they kill. There's a lot of puffery of the chest, dude. I heard you tell that story 13 times that night, and I enjoyed hearing it every single time. Your enthusiasm when you connect, man, is just unrivaled.
You're pretty giddy after you kill, Brett.
Yeah, I was tickled for you.
I noticed that whenever when you came and hunted with me in Missouri the day after you killed that big old buck, you just giddy the whole time, just this big old smile. The whole time, don't care about nothing. I'm going home early, you know.
Yeah,
you're just, it's fun. I love it.
I wouldn't have dreamed up killing that turkey the way I did. And I'm 90% sure we bumped and busted that bird the day before trying to track him through that swamp, because he gobbled one time and I thought he was further, you know, listening to what y'all were saying. I thought he was a little further and I could get up to the edge of some dry. And he was still in the swamp. So if he's over here, I just kind of cut over. But I'm pretty sure we bumped him because he never made a word ever again. He was probably a lot closer. I probably could just sit down right there in the water and probably called him close enough to shoot. But it was that bird the next day was roosted in the exact same spot.
We saw that. We saw that a couple times. Turkeys in Florida roosting in the same exact spot. Or
same bird.
Or at least close to it. I know, Walt, you've experienced it out there where you hunt. I've experienced it out there where you hunt. Like, I don't really, that doesn't happen much out here.
You know,
not where I'm at. I don't see it a whole lot. They'll roost in the same areas, but not like spot. Like you cannot just depend on a spot.
The predominant body of knowledge says that turkeys don't roost in the same spot, no matter where they do the samples in the United States, including one maybe only an hour or two away from where we hunted and far closer to where I hunt. And I take that as a good sign. I think if what we're observing is a lot of turkeys using the same spot and none of the science supports in the South that they are using the same tree, to me, that says there's a lot of turkeys where you are, and that's a really good thing. I used to argue with it, and then Clay was like, hey, why are you upset about it? Like, if they don't, if that, that's nothing but a good thing. If you hear a turkey and that holler every time, that means that there's just a constant rotation of gobblers in that area. And one of my best spots I go to probably has about, heck, it's got to be two or three birds a year get killed out of a very small patch of ground. And it's always got turkeys in there. There are five gobblers that came in when I tagged out. And I hunt the crap out of that spot every year. So if you have that, just take that as maybe you ain't killing the same, maybe you ain't hunting the same bird every day, but you're in a good spot and just keep on it.
I wonder how many times we give a name and personality to like five different turkeys. We're like, he's right there. He's been there for five years.
How many birds do you think Gallberry Joe was?
Yeah, Gallberry Joe was a lot of different.
Gallberry Joe was a Jake.
I guarantee you.
It was a, you know, I mean, yeah, I think it's cool, man. I think I am remarkably blessed to live in this state, to have as many turkeys as we do in this state, and to have the nuance to be able to like hunt Osceolas in an area that is different, right? Like the whole game is different. How far they are, how they act, the birds look different. Joey, how much did your bird weigh? I can't remember. It was 17.2, right?
No, mine was 15. I think Brett's was 16. Is that right, Brett?
No, one of them was 17.
Nope.
Was Brett 17?
Mine was 17.05 and yours was 16.0.
Yeah. And so those are the three heaviest birds. Those are two of the three heaviest birds that I have weighed myself. And I did the tally the other day. It was 27 birds I've weighed so far. That mean Tom weight is 14.25 pounds in this state. It's a totally different bird.
Wow.
Was mine the heaviest? Well, how heavy was that one that I killed?
I didn't weigh yours, buddy.
Yeah, you did. No, not this year, the year before, last year, the one I killed at your place.
I don't remember weighing your bird.
You did. We just talked about this like 3 days ago.
I've slept since then, man.
We talked about it because you said there were three heavy ones. I don't remember.
You're right. I think yours was the heaviest one. I think yours was the heaviest one. I don't have to go back and look.
Ever
yours was just shy of 18, wasn't it? It's like 17.6. I think it was 17.6 is the number that sits,
something like
that sits in my mind.
You remember that, Brett? Do you remember it? We weighed it.
The double beard?
Six beards.
He's a tank.
Six beards.
That extra beard. A lot of weight.
He was a mature. A mature gobbler. Yeah. You said you live in a state with a lot of birds. Isn't it? It's a good turkey state. I think the thing that makes Florida a good turkey state, I wouldn't necessarily say that there's just a lot of turkeys, man. You got to cover ground to find turkeys, it seems like. But
I don't know.
I think you feel that way because
I heard more gobbles the first 3 days than I did all season in Alabama. All turkey season I went at least 2 days a week, sometimes 3 days a week, all season.
Listen, I'm just a humble Alabamian trying to help fellow Florida guys out.
I think if we had more open pasture areas and areas you could watch birds, I think you'd be floored how many turkeys are here. Because everywhere where there is a pasture area or an open field, it's not uncommon to see 10 to 20 birds. I mean, there are some.
All right, dude, whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Everybody go to Florida. It's awesome.
Come on.
There's a lot of
it's
turkeys.
It's a freaking really expensive everywhere. State. And there's moccasins everywhere. And Parker kills all of our birds. So, you know, but yeah, it's tough, man. I think if you can kill a bird consistently down here like you do, Parker, I honest to God, I'm going to heap some praise on you. I am so impressed that you kill birds as consistently as you do in Florida. It is. I don't think if you don't live here, I don't think that's an easy thing to like an easy craft to hone at all. Like it's a different game.
Maybe. I was very fortunate
in
Florida. I have been very fortunate, and a lot of my Florida hunts feel fortunate. Like,
Is that how you feel,
they
Joey?
Feel,
I was very fortunate to stumble upon the bird that I did. after the week after hunting there an entire week, I feel very, very fortunate to have that.
When you think about it, it's like we were one car stop away from not having a good week. Like, we just stopped the car in a random spot and got out and heard turkeys gobble, and that's when I killed. And then we didn't kill another turkey the rest of the trip. No,
but we did hear, we got back into turkeys the next day, that Thursday morning.
Yep, we got close. Didn't kill one, but, you know, I mean, it's like it feels fortunate. You know, Jared let me shoot his quota turkey for my first Osceola. That was just a good guy and good fortune, you know, and like just knowing somebody who had a tag, you know, in a good place. And then the next day it was the next time. It just all felt very fortunate. But what one thing I will say is, I've said this to Casey multiple times, because that dude, we drug him around all week through the swamp, and it was for the most part pretty freaking boring.
Yeah.
But we would keep saying the same thing. Well, Casey, that's a long day of turkey hunting, but the more we walk, the better our chances are to kill a turkey. It was kind of like, it just kept coming up. And that's kind of the thing, like, just go out, just be there. And I find most of the time my fortune when it comes to turkey hunting just comes from going when I get tired, you know, even when I'm tired, even when I don't want to. Because the good thing about a turkey, man, is they give away their location. Mm-hmm. So all you have to do is be there. And then you can make a move. Then you're in the game. You're all of a sudden in the game.
It's one of the few times in the woods that simply being there as long as you humanly can, covering as much ground as you humanly can, it really increases your odds. Because like with deer, you know, I know there's a science to where deer move and when a buck moves and all that stuff. But let's face it, there's no golden hour in turkey hunting on the beginning and the end of the day, right? The morning is typically speaking better, obviously. But there's no one who just goes, you know, got to be on pins and needles for this next hour while I sit here turkey hunting, because at any point he could step out, right? If the sun is up, there's a bird on the ground somewhere ready to die. And you just have to put one foot in front of the other, stay focused, don't move too quickly, don't be careless, and eventually you're going to kill a bird. And you might have a season full of really close encounters, and then at the last second, lightning strikes, and you're just on a tear, and the birds in the area you're hunting are ready to die. And it's who knows? Maybe it's the barometric pressure, a lack of wind, moon's in the Mars is in retrograde. Who cares? But just being there increases your odds, because you literally cannot kill them from the couch. But there are plenty of days that if you don't sit sun up to sundown for deer, you're not hurting yourself.
Yeah, Joey said it. I heard him say it a lot. Turkeys are awake when you are.
Yeah.
That's the best thing about hunting them. I heard you say it one time. I've heard you say it quite a few times, but the first time you said it, I was like, you know what? I'm going to remember that forever.
If the sun is up, there's a 99% chance that every turkey in the region is awake. So you just, you'll luck into one. And that's how I feel exactly what happened to me on that Sunday. You know, Pat and I just went into this random spot. It was like our fourth choice, you know, and we just went down in there, struck him and got into it with his hen, and she pulled him right in front of the gun barrel. And it was very black and white turkey hunting, I guess you could kind of put it. It was either really good, you know, in the moment, or it was, you were just scratching and clawing to find that next moment. Because Pat and I covered 11 and a half miles Saturday. We heard one gobble on the roost, and that was it. That was all the action that we got the rest of the day. And then the next day we heard two gobbles on the roost, and we heard and saw nothing else until we killed my bird. And then, you know, Monday morning it rained, Monday afternoon, there was not much going on. Tuesday, not much going on. Wednesday was when Parker and I had the no telling how many gobbles that we heard before noon that day. Thursday was pretty great. Close. We got into birds and worked. I don't know. We had three or four different setups, I think. Thursday morning, And then Friday was, no pun intended, to wash pretty much. But I was going to ask, you know, you guys were talking about that. I guess it was one of the days, Saturday or Sunday, when you heard birds. Did anybody hear any gobbles afternoon the entire week?
On Sunday? The weekend? Or after Sunday?
Well, Saturday, Sunday, the rest of the week. I know Parker and I didn't hear anything afternoon.
Sunday afternoon, I had a bird gobble on the way out. Mm-hmm. We did. No. Not after that.
Yeah. And going back to talking about how many turkeys are around there, I could be convinced that there are a lot of turkeys around there. We just didn't hear them.
Mm-hmm.
Because every turkey in the vicinity was gobbling at us that Wednesday when Parker killed his. And there were a lot of turkeys around. And they probably just shut up, you know, afternoon. And you would have never known that those turkeys were there.
Did you notice, Joey, sometimes it would be like, we'd be sitting there and we'd get the three that we were working hard, really fired up, and then like randomly in one location.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just this random guy that's like,
hey, yeah.
Yeah.
They would almost shot gobble.
And then they'd stop for a little bit, and then we'd get them all fired up, and then another one, you know, 250 yards the other direction.
Yeah. No, but that was what would happen Sunday morning, Parker, when I killed my bird. We had the two that were within, you know, spitting distance, and then we had the one off to our east that we started making the move on initially before we ran into you. And then there was the one that was hammering in front of us. And then the two that we ended up shooting one from was not the same bird as the one that was in front of us. They only gobbled, I think, because we got within 30 yards of them. And I started letting it rip, thinking the bird was closer to 100 yards away. I think those birds are everywhere out there. I really do.
I'd like to go back, and I should have done this while I was out there, but see what the weather and what everything was doing, like Sunday when everybody killed their birds, what it was doing Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, because there's got to be something, because those are the only three mornings where we had any kind of action, or I mean morning or afternoon. Those 6 hours. 5 or 6 hours of daylight were the only time that we had like interactions with turkeys, legit interactions.
And we were seeing turkeys. It wasn't like all those days we saw turkeys, and we would like bust turkeys and whatever. There was always turkeys around.
Mm-hmm.
A couple mornings I saw turkeys fly down, but nothing ever made a noise. You know, it was just quiet. And dude, there was a few of those mornings that were beautiful that should have just been wide open and nothing.
Isn't it something though? Isn't it something how every time you take a breath to make a call, or you pull your striker out and you polish that surface and you go to strike, isn't it something how we get so hopeful every time we do it? Because you're always so dadgum disappointed when they don't respond, right? You do the little, you know, you point in the direction, you're like, you're supposed to say something there, and you wouldn't be that disappointed if you weren't hopeful afterwards. But I think that kind of speaks to what you were saying earlier, Parker, is, and Joey, it can happen quick. You know, you're walking through the woods, you're not hearing anything, you're not seeing things. All of a sudden you get inside that son of a gun's bubble and you go, bah, 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 and he's sitting right there. You know, it is just, there's something about it, man. There's something about it.
We killed the first bird I heard on the ground in Florida. Pat's like, awesome. I said, Pat and I heard three gobbles.
It's a good stat there, boy.
Pat and I heard three gobbles, you know, the two mornings on the roost. We did not hear a turkey gobble on the ground until we killed him.
Hey, if they'll gobble,
that's right, man. He's got to have a feet on the ground.
My favorite thing from that entire hunt was the Sunday morning we all killed. Joey, old school behind Joey, creeps by in his truck and goes, y'all don't come home unless you kill him, or something like that. What'd you say? You said
you're getting your stuff ready, and Pat and I were rolling out. I said, come back with a turkey or don't That's come back at all.
Yeah. And I was like, man, I feel like my granddad just showed up and said something. And then we went on a freaking tear, dude. That, if you want your stat line, you need to figure out what you said to Parker Wednesday, because that was that.
I said we don't kill turkey Wednesday.
See, there you go.
Did I not?
You said No, your exact words were, I think we're going to luck into a turkey today.
Close enough.
But to be fair, I think we started every day. But that day we knew it was
going to happen. Yeah, we actually shot one Wednesday. Thursday was just fun almost. We just didn't kill one.
That was close, man. I enjoyed the heck out of it. Florida's a great way to start the season every year.
It's a tease.
It's nice. It's a nice icebreaker.
It's a tease for me, though. You know, I killed that bird on March 17th, and I won't get to tote a gun again until April 13th.
Mm.
And nothing in between for me.
Walt, that's called a real subject.
Yeah, that's sad.
The I'm tagged out and can't go hunt is not really a sob story.
Joey, true or false, did you buy tags to Montana?
I did.
I ain't worried about you then. I know what y'all did in Montana.
Touché.
So I just want to point out a couple things here. Brett killed a turkey.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
And Joey killed a turkey. You killed a turkey, and I killed a turkey. Joey, I said that earlier tongue-in-cheek, but I think I just realized something. I think there might be power in our words and how we say things, because Joey says, kill a turkey or don't come home at all. He wakes up and says, I think we're going to kill a turkey today. And his bold prediction was that Walter would tag out in Florida before April 1st. And I was done by March 22nd? And so, let's see. What other bold predictions occurred? So, Matt said that Brett's going to kill two on public. Well, Alabama public.
I'll pull Joey, them up here. I got them.
Yeah, I got them right here, too. Okay. Parker will kill a turkey in every state he hunts. He's got that going right now. So that bold prediction's there. Let's see. Yeah. I mean, we're doing pretty good to start things off. Joey will get a single season grand slam. He's got an Osceola. It's not bad. 3 weeks into the season, we've got.
And he's scheduled to go to hunt all of them.
Yeah,
we're on track. So
we're doing pretty good, boys. We're doing pretty good.
The power in the words thing, well, that's actually in the Bible. So God said it.
Hmm.
He may have mentioned it, but Joey said it. God didn't say Walter's going to kill two birds before April 1st, because I'm going to tell you this right now. If God had put that in the Bible, my butt would be in church every Sunday morning. I'm going to tell you right now, I'd be reverse tithing. I'd be living on 10% and giving 90% to the church so fast in the kids. Okay. You give me that kind of divine prophecy and I'm going to be religious, son. I'm telling you.
I tell you, I hadn't spoken to Jesus more than that Wednesday morning. when Parker killed it. Because when we say it was 4.5 hours, I mean, we said it's legit 4.5 hours. And I said 4.5 hours worth of prayers. I prayed to Jesus, everybody. I prayed to my mama. I prayed to everybody else I could think of up there.
St. Patty himself.
St. Patty. Everybody.
I'm going to be honest. I had made up in my mind that day that it was going to be okay if we didn't kill it.
I mean, yeah.
Like, I have never felt that way. Let me just be very clear about one thing. I like to kill them. And I've never felt that way.
He does.
I never felt this way. But I was like, this is awesome. I would prefer to kill a turkey today. But that was just one of those days, man, that you just ain't going to forget about. I'm going to be completely honest with you, fellas. My Alabama hunt, which we're not going to, I'm just going to tease it a little bit, but it was the same. It was as much gobbling, right, per the time spent in the woods, right? Like, that hunt ended fairly quickly. But, dude, it was just another one of those days, man. And you want to talk about crappy, overcast, rainy, dreary, nothing should have been doing anything. And it just goes back to that point. Like, if you just go, they're either going to give away their location or they're not. But I feel like you got a 50% chance, you know, every single time. You got it 50. You might as well just go and figure it out. And if nothing's gobbling and you just don't want to go and you don't want to be there, go home.
Yep.
But I can't tell you how many times that has been the quote unquote tactic that killed the turkey for me is just go and get out of the truck.
So go ahead, Brett.
Unfortunately, the state of Alabama makes
that is fact. That is straight communism, is what that is. We had a conversation in Polo about that, and I thought about writing the commissioner just to complain. I don't even hunt that state. I was just like, I was annoyed that they would kick people out of the woods at 1 o'clock. That just feels un-American.
I like it.
Do you?
I'm gonna be honest. I like it. Yeah,
that's bogus.
I like it because. Kind of forces, like, I like that it forces the pressure away a little bit, keeps people out of the woods all day. Turkeys can roost and do their thing. I also like that it just kind of forces me to make more responsible decisions and not hunt all day, right? Like, okay, I can't hunt all day, so I might as well get out at lunch and go to work. You know, it just kind of forces me to be a little more responsible. So I don't mind it.
Bump that.
They still give us 4 turkeys.
I mean, there is that. Yeah. That's a good point, too.
I'm all right with it.
I think they should give you non-residents 1 tag and give me the extra tag here in Florida. That way I can hunt more.
Nah.
Yeah, 2-bird limit.
You boys ready to wrap this thing up? We got anything else we gotta do?
I want to talk about one thing. I'm going to end this with a question for you guys. One sentence, what did you learn from hunting in Florida this year? Start with you, Joey.
Ooh. What did I learn from hunting in Florida? I said it earlier, I learned that turkeys are going to do turkey things no matter what part of the country that they're in. And I think the Florida aspect is what intimidates people, not the turkeys, just the environment and the terrain or lack thereof. Is what scares people.
It's a good one. Walt, do you have an answer?
That the further south in Florida you go, the more wet the terrain you'll find a turkey that you wouldn't find it anywhere else.
I thought you were going to say the further south, the better the turkey.
Yeah, Miami.
Yep.
I'm gonna say for me, this one's a little bit odd, but it's probably my biggest takeaway from Florida. Joey, you can probably relate to this a little bit. I've dropped a little poundage, and it has been an incredibly valuable thing to my turkey.
Absolutely.
It's given me a lot of oomph, I guess, to keep going later in the day, you know. When you don't really want to go,
yep.
you just keep grinding. And I think health, that my health, maybe because I'm 33 now, maybe just because I'm getting older, but keeping that up is going to be a very important part of being an effective turkey hunter.
Yeah.
Yep. And so if you're going to say something about Florida, I wouldn't repeat anything that I just said about the swamps. That's one of the biggest things. Like, don't factor out the swamps.
Now, as far as weight, I'll say this. I did not get near as tired as I have in the past. Like going to bed, my feet weren't as tired. Mm-hmm. I didn't like get out of breath, I don't think, the entire time. That's not saying that we didn't walk a mm-hmm. lot and we didn't work hard, but 40 something pounds ago, I'd have been tired by, you know, noon, 11 o'clock, and probably would have had a hard time going back out that afternoon, especially considering that we did not hear any turkeys afternoon.
Yeah, there was no hope.
There was very little hope, but I had zero problems, you know, throwing that vest on and getting to it, you know, after lunch or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited now to try this quote unquote new body on these hills up here.
I'm excited to try the new 2024 right. model.
What you got, Brett?
Well, I learned a few things, but I guess one of the two main things that stick out is just the turkey goblin is in down there is not near as far away as yep. what you think it is, or at least for me in that area. And then I guess the second thing that I kind of have to say is just the type of area the turkey chose to live in. Just being in those swampy cypress bottoms that were kind of like black mud with water and stuff in them. I mean, when we went through, me and Boneless Chuck tracking that bird on opening morning, it was amazing how many tracks, turkey tracks were out there. There were so many turkey tracks. In fact, I'm sure at camp that night, y'all could all see how excited I was at how much turkey sign that I had found. Like, I was, like, way up here. Like, I was above the daggum fire.
He found the community scrape right on the edge with the persimmon tree right above it.
You know, and I kind of knew that from last season, just understanding where people killed birds. But then when I actually seen it, heard the bird, tracked the bird, and seen it for myself, it's just like a aha moment, you know, like, this is it. This is what I got to go with, for at least for this property, you know, because every place can be a little different. But at least for this area that I was hunting, it was where they were.
Yeah, I know. That's another thing I noticed, that we didn't see a lot of turkey sign, like, there wasn't, or it didn't cover a lot of area. Like, we didn't see a track or two in a lot of places, but the places that we did see turkey sign, there was a lot of tracks. Like, it was congregated. It was condensed. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember, you know, the Friday before, I had that work conference call or whatever. And so I was just like riding around, you know, on dirt roads, kind of staying where I had signal so I could stay on the phone. And I was looking for turkey tracks in the dirt, you know, going across the roads around some of these spots just to see if I could find them. I think I found one, and I dropped a pin on it. But once you got back into the swamps, like, once you happened upon turkey sign, there was a lot of it. They just hung out in mm-hmm. those little spots. It kind of reminded me of out west. Like, there are pockets of turkeys out west. I think there are pockets of turkeys in these swamps. Like, they just have those little areas where they just want to be, and it may or may not be where you think they should be, but it's where they want to be, and that's just where they're going to hang out.
Yeah.
All right, boys, let's take a pin in this. Shout out to Tethered for making the best turkey vest humanly possible. Yep. Daniel over at Honeycomb Customs, making the finest mouth and pot calls ever seen. If you do not have his copper pot, you do not have all the turkey calls that you should have. I'm telling you, that thing is the wicked.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Nope, I'm wrong, or nope, you agree? I couldn't tell the way you said that. It was like, this.
I'm saying, nope, you gotcha. Don't have all okay. the turkey calls.
That's normally, that's also the same tone whenever I say something stupid and you correct me. So I was a little confused there, but, but yeah, they just say shout out to them and everything they're doing for us. And,
I'll tell you this about that copper call.
Come on.
I still carry an aluminum call. Okay, because it's just almost like an obnoxiously loud sound.
Nothing almost about it, but keep going.
Huh? Yeah.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah, it's a very obnoxiously yeah. loud sound for very windy days. But I do not carry another pot call other than the copper. That copper is what I will use unless it's just a crappy mm-hmm. windy day. And my favorite part is that slate on the bottom side of it. You can do those real soft clucks and purrs, dude. It literally does like, it is the only pot call that I need in my bed.
Struck a lot of birds really. That week.
It did.
And it doesn't sound like a copper. Like that hollow rasp, that overly obnoxious rasp that you're used to. Man, that thing is crisp. Now, you can get raspy on it if you need to. And that's the cool thing about everything.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, you can.
That's the cool thing about everything Daniel makes is it's always so versatile. You want a clean yelp on a mouth call, you can get a clean yelp on his mouth calls. If you want to, you know, in that moment, you want to sound like a different hen and throw some rasp on it, move your tongue, shift your jaw, and suddenly you're just barking at him. You know, I mean, I've never encountered somebody where you have that diversity built into a call. And I just continue to whittle what I take down further and further and further. I mean, I take the copper pot because I believe one day it's going to make a difference.
You're not even taking your gun now.
Daniel needs to start making guns.
Yeah, seriously. Or more tags, one of the
take
two.
Take notes, Parker.
He's just whittling stuff down. I don't even
take I don't take my best or my camera gear or anything.
I just take that call.
I just sleep in and hit snooze. But yeah, it's awesome. Just want to say thanks to them and everything they do for us because we love to support them.
Yeah, man. Those calls, man, that people need to check out the SoCo calls when you talk about mm-hmm. versatile, man, that pack right there is, this year, that's where it's all I'm taking. I have nothing else.
Don't need anything else.
No, sir.
All right, guys. Appreciate y'all tuning in. We obviously didn't go much into the specifics of the hunt because you've heard it on the Live from the Fire series. We're going to continue to produce those this spring. You're going to hear about Parker's Tennessee bird and you're going to hear about my second bird that way. And you're going to continue to hear about all the awesome encounters we have. So we got a pile of content. You're coming coming at you this spring. And if you're not.
To be clear, I did not poach a turkey in Tennessee. I have not killed.
Did I say Tennessee? I know why you did. I said that. But
he foretold a Tennessee bird.
I did. Prophesy.
Talked it into
prophesy.
Ooh, yes. Felt it. Hallelujah.
All right.
I don't even have that Tennessee tag yet.
Well,
we'll have to better. Get that.
Because you're going to have a bird to wrap it around if you don't.
Yeah, apparently I'm on.
Oh, man. All right. Y'all be good.